the 4% rule, and the three-legged stool. Back in the day, those simple strategies did the trick in retirement. But we're not living back in the day. This is 2021, and the problems facing today's retirees demand modern solutions. That's why you're here. Welcome to Modern Money with founder and CEO of PCB Financial Advisory Group, Peter Bombera.
Hey everybody, Dana Wright here. Welcome on into Modern Money with Peter Bombera with PCB Financial Advisory Group. And boy, do we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about this week, Peter. I want to give everyone the phone number. Remind you, it is 1-800-880-8079. I'm going to give that out again, 1-800-880-8079. And I want to remind our listeners, if you just text book into the body of that text, Peter will send you out a free copy of his book, Modern Money, Retirement in Any Economy. And we could all use some helpful advice and helpful hints right now, Peter, with as crazy as the world has been in the last, 5 months, 6 months. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not. And all we've been hearing is a lot of doom and gloom, right? We need some positivity here.
We do need some positivity. And one of the things, I love this, that you will help us navigate is how important it is to save and save now, because we can only control what we can control. You always say that, Peter. And so it's important for all of you listening, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, there are certain things that you can do now to put yourself in a much, much better position when retirement comes knocking on your door, regardless of what is happening with the economy, right?
100%. And due to all this craziness that's going on, try to tune out some of the noise and some of the negative media, because remember, if you're retiring in a couple of years from now, all right, you still have a little bit of time on your side. But if you're retiring 10 plus years from now, all of this is going to be way behind you.
Just, it's just noise. You're right. So let's control what we can control. And here is one headline that is a little bit of a warning for our younger listeners, but I bet you're not going to be surprised here. The article says empty nesters are not saving for retirement like they promised, and that's a problem. The Center for Retirement Research at Boston College recently found no evidence that empty nesters are saving any more in their 401ks or IRAs, even after the kids are out of college and have left. They call this the broken promise to yourself, Peter, okay? Because we all say this. I am right in the middle of all of the very expensive years where as soon as we get one kid out of college, another one joins, okay? And so this is hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in and out over that 8, 10, 12-year period. And what most people will say, Peter, is once all that is done, I'll have so much money, I won't know what to do with my money. We will start saving more then. And the survey shows many people, instead of saving more, actually cut back on their work hours once their children are out of the house. They need a break, right? Wow. They take more leisure time, but their savings rate didn't increase significantly. What does that say to you, Peter?
I mean, as we know, today's day and age, it's very, very, very different than it was, 20, 30 plus years ago, right? The way people are saving are very different. The way people are spending money are very different.
Yes.
And that's a problem. There's too much opportunity out there. If I don't even know if that's the right word or not, but there's an overwhelming amount of people spending more today because of the new gadgets, or they had to compete, right, with their neighbors or their friends and family, or they want that new thing, that hot new shiny object out there. And you have to understand those things are good. You work really hard for your money, but don't forget someday you want to retire. Right. And when you retire, there's no money coming in from your wages.
Right.
Right. So now you have to create some kind of plan around it. But how much money does it take? So that's why it's so important to make sure you're extremely strict on your budget.
1-800-880-8079 is the phone number. And I want to get a little bit into the weeds of what this study showed, because there are some actual numbers that we can give our listeners that help put some of this in perspective. Fidelity recommends, Peter, by the time you reach 50, and I'm knocking at the door there, let me tell you, I'm 48. Fidelity recommends by the time a person reaches 50, they have 6 times their salary saved for retirement. Yet most people are far behind that. The median retirement savings for 45 to 54-year-olds, those with 401ks, so those who are in corporate America, 45 to 54, the median retirement savings is just $105,000. Now, you might think that sounds like a lot of money. And it is. If someone just handed you that in a lump sum, that would be a pretty nice payday, right, Peter?
Sure.
But $105,000 isn't going to get you a few months in retirement, depending on what your lifestyle looks like. Are you still paying a mortgage? Now, the averages look healthier, but still suggest that our listeners who are not saving aggressively after raising children won't be able to keep up the retirement lifestyle they expect. But Peter, I get this. I'm telling you, once the kids are out of college, you're getting a raise bigger than you have ever seen in your life once those collegiate expenses stop, right?
100%.
I get it. People are thinking, like, I want to go spend some me time right now. I want to go travel. Like, we finally have extra money coming in. I want to spend some of it on me if I've been spending it on the kids the last 10, 15, 20 years. I get it.
You should still live the same way in your within your means as if you were still spending. Because
right.
You want to take that money, you know, make believe it's not extra money. Keep on throwing it back into your savings or your investments or do other things with it and continue to live within your means. Because don't forget, the first decade of retirement is usually the most expensive. You spend usually the most money the first 10 years in retirement. So what you're doing today is going to make a huge, huge, huge impact in the future.
It's funny because your first 10 years, that's when you want to go travel. You want to go bungee jumping. You want to go see all of the sights, the 7 wonders of the world, all of that stuff. By year 11, Peter, I'm going to be tired. I'm just going to want to hang out on the couch and watch TV. My parents are right in the middle of this. They are just now starting to travel. And they did, I think, 9 states in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, about a month ago. And so I'm watching this in real time. There is no question that first 10 years and certainly first 5 are going to be statistically the most expensive. The median retirement savings, by the way, when you look at that $105,000 for those younger people listening, which we know is not going to be enough to get you to the finish line, it's important to remember if this is you and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I need to catch up, I don't have enough, that federal rules now make the catch-up savings much, much easier as you get older. And so once you are 50, the government now will allow you to stash as much as, what is it, $27,000 a year into your 401k, I think, Peter? This is that new catch-up rule. Can you explain that? And why is the government doing that?
Yeah, so this is giving you a more of a boost, right? So if you're able to save a little bit more, they're actually helping you do this. So if you're 50 or older, you could put as much as $27,000 a year in a 401k and $7,000 in an IRA or a Roth IRA, of course, depending upon your income. So now for people that are under 50, the rules are allowing savings of up to $20,500 in 401ks, which is still a lot of money, and $6,000 in an IRA or a Roth IRA.
But that shows you, so, and we're throwing some math at you if you're in your car. If you're under 50 like I am, I'm 48 years old, I can save $20,000 a year in my 401k. The 50 or older set, they're allowing that now to bump $7,000 more up to $27,000. So there's that catch up. I think the government is figuring out people did not save enough earlier when it was easier to do it. And now if you're 50 and you're looking at that clock going, I don't have enough money, they're going to allow you to squirrel away $27,000 more. Let me ask you this, Peter, and it's completely fine if you don't know the answer to this. Do you know, is that $20,000 under 50, does that include a corporate company match, or is that just what you personally put away?
That's total.
I was going to ask you, do they dock you for the corporate match?
Yeah, that's total. But here's the thing. Now, these things are all good. You know, when you're over the age 50, you're able to save more. But guess what? According to current research, roughly only 12% of people with 401ks are actually hitting the limits that they're allowed to based upon their age. So think about this. 12% of people who have a 401k, based upon statistics and research, They're saying 12% are the ones that are actually hitting these goals or these limits. That's wild.
It is, but I also understand it because what you think is, well, oh, God, I can't save that much right now. I need it for this. I need it for that.
Sure.
But Peter, we know this. Once that money is taken out, you never see it. That 401k money that is taken out, you never see it. Your paycheck comes, it's already taken out just like your taxes. For me, if I don't see it, I don't spend it, and I don't necessarily miss it. And yeah. I bumped my contribution this year for that very reason. And my company this year, and I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about this, started to offer a Roth IRA separate savings option. So you could do 401k, you could do IRA, you could do both.
Absolutely.
What you have taught me, but until you see it in practice and it hurts, is that the taxes are taken out of that Roth. It's up front, correct?
Correct.
So the first week I did that, Peter, I tried, okay, let's try this. I'm going to do 401k over here at 6%. I'm going to do Roth at 6%. It destroyed my paycheck because that Roth, the taxes come out right then and there. So I needed to lower the percentage. It was too much for me and the budget for what I need to pay all my bills with all these kids in college. But then there are benefits of that at the end you don't have to pay, correct?
That's correct. So the reason why you're seeing this now is because, I mean, we've been talking about this for years.
Yeah.
But now the 401k system, qualified system, the 457 system, whatever you want to call it, at work, they're now catching on to this. Because remember many, many, many years ago when the 401k pretty much came out and they said, hey, put money into a 401k because when you retire, you're probably going to be in a much lower tax bracket. Well, clearly that has not worked, and it's obviously not working in anyone's favor. So now they have caught on to this and saying maybe it's a good idea to incorporate Roth IRAs within a savings plan, because if we're doing tax planning, we usually do a lot of tax planning when somebody's 59 and a half and older. And we're really hoping to do tax planning before age 72 when it comes to required minimum distribution. So Roth IRAs are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And if you understand the power behind it.
You just got to take a little bit of a hit on the front end. And if you can afford that hit, do it. When we get back, I want to talk about this. In another 2022 survey by Fidelity, 20% of Generation X, that's all of you listening, 42 to 57, thought that when they retire, it would be okay to use 10 to 15% of their savings every year. Now, before I got into the weeds of learning all of the things you've taught me, Peter, I would not have known what percentage would be appropriate year to year. I can tell you 10 to 15% is not it. And when we, you know, unless you're a billionaire, when we get back, we're going to tell you what the general rule of thumb looks like and how that applies to our listeners today, despite inflation and all the other wonky things we're seeing in the economy. 1-800-880-8079. You are listening to Dana Wright and Peter Bambara with Modern Money. Back with much more straight ahead.
As the weather warms, the open roads begin to beckon. If you've been getting the itch to travel, call Peter at 1-800-880-8079 to make sure you have enough saved to keep the winds of adventure blowing in retirement.
When you have errands to run, do you like to run all over town, or do you try and make as few stops as possible? It's nice when you can get everything in one place, isn't it? Peter Bambara from PCB Financial believes the same is true for retirement planning. You shouldn't have to go one place for tax planning, another for estate planning, and another for retirement income planning. That's why PCB Financial was started. Peter wanted to build a company that could help families with all aspects of their retirement planning. PCB Financial is more than just convenient, they're knowledgeable and experienced. To set up a meeting with Peter Bambara and his team to talk about your retirement, call 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079. One stop for a wealth of retirement solutions. PCB Financial, 1-800-880-8079. Firm offers insurance services but does not provide tax or legal advice. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC.
Welcome back to the program, and we are so happy to have you every single week with us as we navigate some of the very choppy waters of today's modern economy. And as always, you are listening to the president of PCB Financial Advisory Group, Peter Bambara, to help hold our hand through this process. And if you are wondering what your retirement might look like, how to do it, when to do it, that's an important one, and whether or not your money will last, you have come to the right place today. And Peter, thank you always for your time. It's so important that we break some of this stuff down for our listeners, especially right now.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
So retirement's something people rarely plan completely through. We know that because even if we've got the very best advisor in our corner, how can you plan for everything, right? All people have done for the last, 30, 40 years is work. So one of your tough jobs is how to help navigate for these clients, how they know what to expect to the extent that you can. And it's important for everyone listening to understand that the rules of retirement have changed. They are actually always changing. And that's why it's so important to have somebody in your corner like yourself who know what the rules are, how they have changed from year to year or even month to month. And people are living longer, Peter. That's the other conversation we have to have, thanks to advancements in healthcare. How and why is all of this such a challenge today for the modern retiree?
Well, due to the fact that people are living longer, retirement means it's going to last a lot more years, right? Several decades into retirement. There are major shifts within the industry when it comes to pensions. The pension systems, they're trying to get rid of them because it's looking at it as a more of a liability. It's costing a pretty penny to these companies. It's just not worth it for them profitability-wise. And also the new generation is not funding the pension system. So that's something that they're looking to officially get rid of, unfortunately. Having $1 million today, and unfortunately, it's not really big as it was, 15, 20 years ago, being a millionaire, but $1 million today is really not a lot of money anymore. The old rule of taking money out of our portfolio, this is what's called a 4% rule. And this is a rule that we have to talk about only because at a required minimum distribution time, you're going to be taking out almost 4% and beyond as you go through those golden years. But you should not be following these old traditional rules that you and I both know no longer work. And on top of that, don't forget, we're going to have eventually higher healthcare costs, especially when inflation continues to creep up higher and higher and higher. And now you're living longer. So there's so many things that many stages in retirement that are so important. We need to understand how these things work and how they communicate with each other and how your investments communicate with each other, especially if your goal is try to protect what you build, preserve it, and continue to grow it for the rest of your life.
And I think one of the surprises for a lot of people, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and she and her husband are recently retired. We were able to take a golf trip down this weekend to Prairie Dunes. It's in Hutchinson, Kansas. And if you're a golfer and you're listening, put that one on your list. It is absolutely spectacular. And on the drive down there, it's about a 3.5-hour drive from Kansas City, she mentioned to us that retirement has been a lot more expensive than either one of them had anticipated. She said, one of the things no one tells you is that when you retire, you have all of this time on your hands. And she said, for us, we're just go, 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 which means spend, 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 spend. She goes, we are just spending, spending, spending right now because we're not used to having all this time on our hands. And I do think she kept a part-time job to at least help with health insurance costs, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
And how important is that for people listening to at least keep that thought in the back of their mind to help with costs? And there are rules about that, how much you can even make in retirement once you're starting to pull your money out.
Absolutely. Believe it or not, we hear a lot of folks who are working part-time and they're doing that just to pay a couple of extra bills or the basics, and they're working part-time because they actually want to, but it's also helpful. It's also helpful to lower some of the expenses that you have on a monthly basis. But believe it or not, if you're retiring at 60 or 62 and you have to wait until Medicare at 65, I mean, it's going to cost a pretty penny. And then if at 65 and beyond, if you're taking on too much income, especially if you didn't plan for required minimum distributions at 72 and beyond, and then you have an enormous amount of income coming in, that could potentially increase what you're paying on some of these premiums. So you have to be very careful when it comes to planning. You're planning not just for today. You're planning for tomorrow. You're planning for the long term. And try to make those adjustments to make your future better. Thank you.
And you're planning for the what if. You had mentioned the $1 million in the bank. And I think for our parents' generation and certainly prior, that was kind of the number. Man, if I retire with $1 million in the bank, we're going to be just fine. We know that for most people listening, that is not enough anymore for today's modern costs and modern retirement. Retirement plans in the past, you remember the old three-legged stool for income? Oh, yeah. You would have a company pension, you would have Social Security, and personal savings. And for retirees in the past, that was the deal. That three-legged stool, if you had all three, you were good to go. Quite frankly, that approach is no longer viable. Why is that?
And you used to get a golden watch, too, when you retired.
That's right. A watch in a box.
So this is so important because think about this. So you had this great Social Security that we still have, right, thankfully. Yep. Then you used to have this pension for the lucky few. Some folks do and some folks don't. And a lot of folks are saying, wow, my company's offering me a lump sum payout. I wonder why they're doing that, right? And then you have these investments. Let's call it $1 million. Now, unfortunately, if you look at the investments, right, and you're saying, okay, my Social Security is bringing in this dollar amount and my possible pension is bringing in this dollar amount, and then you have a gap, and let's call your gap is 50 grand a year, and that gap to bring in is coming from $1 million. Well, now you have what's called a 5% cash flow of $1 million. That 5% is like the old 4% rule. The 4% rule is not working because right. It's not countering the facts of the up markets going up and down, and additional inflation, and so on and so forth. So now you're putting your portfolio at risk if you're going to take out a higher percentage as time goes on. And you have to understand that that's so important because if you're saying, wow, I got $1 million, I'll just take out 100 grand a year. No, it doesn't work like that because 100 grand a year would be about 10% of $1 million. That's 100 grand. If you're taking out 100 grand a year and you're not making any money, if you happen to have a down market or a flat decade, you're now going to be in retirement for about 8 to 10 years.
8 to 10 years is all that's going to take. And this is scary. All of our costs are higher right now.
Oh, yes.
Healthcare costs are through the roof. It is not a viable plan anymore. Unless you live a life of frugality that most Americans do not understand, right?
Oh, so absolutely.
How do you help your clients? With even just with awareness of how they can optimize what it is they have. Maybe their stool doesn't have three legs. Maybe it has five legs. Let's start with Social Security benefits. How do you help our listeners reach a conclusion that makes sense for their specific situation? When to take it? Why to take it? Between spouses, who takes it first? It can all be very confusing.
Everyone is in a unique situation, and it's so important you understand the options that are available. Number one, never assume that if you're ready for Social Security, you're going to go over to the Social Security Administration office and they're going to help you give all your income options and strategies available. It's not going to happen. Their job is to guide you to file for paperwork.
Yeah.
No one ever said their job is to advise you on your options and how to strategize upon it.
Right. They can't do that anymore, right?
No, they can't. They cannot do that. They're not financial advisors. They're not licensed for this. Their job is to help you file, never actual plan. You're supposed to be talking to someone who's licensed in this area. You're supposed to talk to someone who has some kind of education in this background in this area. And Social Security maximization is an actual real thing. There are on average anywhere from 80 to 100 different ways to choose options on Social Security between a husband and a spouse. And there are a little bit less fewer ways when you're single, but there are options. You don't just choose at 62 because now you're qualified for it. It doesn't work like that. Try to maximize it if it's helpful. If you have a spouse, try to maximize at least one between both Social Security paychecks because don't forget, 20 plus years down the road, when someone passes away, you keep the higher of the two. You don't keep two Social Security paychecks.
Right. And that's, again, confusing for some, but if someone, God forbid, passes away, you do get to keep the higher of the two between you, correct?
Absolutely. And don't forget, this could be 40 to 50% or even 60% of loss of income.
Right.
And we're talking about 20 years down the road when you and I both know inflation on certain products are almost doubling.
Well, and as you're getting older, the healthcare costs. And let's spend a minute talking about the healthcare costs, Peter. According to Fidelity, an average couple age 65 is estimated to spend up to $300,000 in healthcare costs in retirement after tax. $300,000 just in healthcare costs. So again, that puts that $1 million benchmark we talked about in another new light. Fidelity's investment, by the way, that estimate isn't even including long-term care costs. That $300 benchmark, Peter, is just straight healthcare costs. The average couple age 65 in retirement. That does not include long-term care. How do you carefully sit down and explain with your clients that this is a figure and a necessity that cannot be ignored?
To be honest with you, this is an area most people do not want to talk about.
Right.
Okay. It's an area they don't want to talk about. And it's almost like, if I'm talking to someone who has, let's say, 20 years before they retire, they don't want to have a conversation about what else can they do in retirement, because they just look at it as, hey, I want to move.
I want to travel.
I want to travel. I want to spend money. I work really hard for it. I'm saving X amount of dollars on a monthly basis in my 401. I'm okay. Don't worry about it. This area, okay, when it comes to healthcare costs, this is so important. And this is why one of the things we talk about is not drawing down your investments, okay?
Yep.
You can protect, preserve, and grow your money. You don't have to be in the dinosaur age of investing where you're looking at your portfolio and you're just drawing down, because you have inflation, you have cost of goods that we know that's going to go up over time, and the healthcare cost is not going to disappear. In fact, the healthcare cost is just going to keep on going up over time with all those inflation numbers. So having a nice bucket to understand how this money could be used to preserve, protect, and grow, especially for healthcare costs, and especially if you're alone and you don't have help around family, this is so important to plan.
So there is just no getting around it. We are living longer. That means the strain on the economy, strain on long-term care costs, strain on your budget. It's not the most pleasant thing to talk about, but it has to be part of any solid financial retirement plan. And that is why you need Peter in your corner. 1-800-880-8079. 1-800-880-8079. Make sure all of your I's are dotted and all of your T's are crossed. You can also look up PCB Financial Advisory Group. Just go to pcbfinancial.com for much more information about all of the topics that we cover on the program. You are listening to Modern Money, Retirement in Any Economy, by the way, even this one. 1-800-880-8079. We're back right after this.
The check engine light is on in Washington, but politicians keep driving the car as if nothing is happening. There it is again. It's Social Security. A new government report says the Social Security Trust Fund could run out by the year 2035. If that happens, it could cause all beneficiaries to take a 20% cut to their benefits. What does that mean for you? When should you start taking benefits? When should your spouse? And how can you get every dollar of Social Security you're entitled to? Learn more about your options by setting up a visit with Peter Bambara at PCB Financial. Peter can help you get the most out of your Social Security benefits. Call now, 1-800-880-8079. To set up your visit with Peter Bambara, 1-800-880-8079. Find out how to get every dollar of Social Security you're entitled to. That's 1-800-880-8079. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC.
We all love Uncle Sam, but let's face it, he's not really your uncle. To make sure you aren't paying more than your fair share in taxes, download Peter's free tax guide at themodernmoneyshow.com. That's themodernmoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. I'm your host, Dana Wright. I want to remind everyone the phone number. If you text book into the body of this text message, we will send you out a complimentary copy of Peter's book, Modern Money, Retirement in Any Economy. And I joke, even this one, because there's some great information in there to help guide you through this process. 1-800-880-8079. When you talk to your clients about retirement and specifically where they plan to retire, to what extent, Peter, does physical location play into your conversations with your clients? Are people looking to get back to where the grandkids are, or are people looking right now to have a good time and also save money? Where can I do this the most economically when it comes to state income taxes and all of those things that we think about when we think about the cities in which you can retire?
I mean, obviously, we know we hear a lot about, I don't want to go too far because of family, you know, well, most of my family's here, most of my family's there. But we're hearing a lot of folks looking more of a lifestyle change, right?
Sure.
A little bit less expense of a change, and also most importantly, a tax change. So they want to spend less taxes, of course. I mean, who doesn't, right? They want to live in an area or communities that are within their age. And for the most part, they also want to go to, you know, decent weather areas as well. So these are all things that we do hear a lot. And it's actually one of the questions we do ask if they're going to be staying within the state. Because a lot of folks, I want to say anywhere from 40 to 50% of them tell me we plan on moving once we retire.
Yep. My parents are right in the middle of doing it. They're looking for a house down in Florida as we speak.
Wow.
And, you know, they wanted the lifestyle change. They wanted to go from the Midwest to somewhere where they could find a beach and some sun. They're, as we speak, looking into some of the tax ramifications of that decision. Here's the other thing, Peter. You need to be near an airport. For most people, Florida is great, or Arizona is great, or California is great if you want the sun. But you talk about cost. You need to be near an airport for a lot of people. So then you're not driving 3 hours to get to the airport for family coming in, for family coming out. Then you're renting a car, like all of that stuff. So they actually studied this. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York looked into this, and almost 50% of Americans plan to work past the age of 62. And in trying to stretch that retirement, it turns out some cities are better than others when you are planning. And some of these are going to surprise our listeners. Some of them might not. They looked at tax friendliness when they ranked these cities. Elderly care, affordability, and livability, which I assume that means, you know, can you go see a concert? Are there amenities there? All of that kind of stuff. So here are the top 10 cities based on all of those things: taxes, elder care, affordability, and livability. Coming in at number 10, Lexington, Kentucky, followed by Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Boise, Idaho, Mesa, Arizona, Louisville, Kentucky. That's two Kentuckys right there. I would not have seen that coming. Plano, Texas comes in on the list. Here is number 4, and we're going to come back to it. It surprised me, and I'll tell you why later. Coming in at number 4, Scottsdale, Arizona, followed by Henderson, Nevada, Chandler, Arizona, and coming in at number 1, I had never even heard of this town, Gilbert, Arizona.
Wow.
So 3 cities in Arizona are in the top 4. We've got one in Nevada in the top 5, followed by a ton in the South with Texas and Kentucky, and there's another Arizona down there. The only reason Scottsdale surprised me, because I love Scottsdale, is affordability. I'm surprised they came in at number 4 based on affordability. Scottsdale is not cheap, but God, it's gorgeous. And there's so much to do there. But I have a feeling their tax friendliness score, elder care score, and livability were off the chart, which maybe helped balance out the affordability factor.
Wow. Arizona, what was it? 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Yeah. I don't know, 20 years ago, would that many of those locations have been on the list? It's super interesting to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And I've been to Arizona a bunch of times, mostly for conferences and business events. But Arizona, the weather, it was absolutely beautiful. It really is.
So when your clients come to you and they say, we're thinking about retirement, we're not sure where, we've narrowed it down to a couple of cities, how do you help guide them through that decision? I know it's a personal decision, Peter. It's very personal where you're going to end up spending your next 20, 30, 40 years. But do you sit down with them and say, like, these are some of the things to consider? Like, here's the list of, you know, best tax cities and best elder care cities? Or is it more of just a gut? Like, my parents just, I don't want to say they pulled Florida out of a hat, but they thought, you know what? We want sunshine. We're doing Florida. And I remember asking them, Peter, why would you not look at Phoenix or Scottsdale? We think we want to go to Florida. Oh, okay. Like, they could never even really verbalize why.
Believe it or not. Well, Florida, we hear that so many times.
Oh, sure.
We hear Florida 1,000 times. It's the retirement capital of the world. But we tend to hear, in regards to, you know, planning what are you looking to do, how you travel, what you're trying to figure out, what areas would be best for you. And we're hearing a lot on long-term travel or stay. So what this means is they're vacationing, 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks at a time. And they're giving themselves, a nice little bucket list of, let's say, 5 cities to visit within the next 6 months or so. And they're staying, 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time in these certain areas that they looked up, they found out it was nice, and of course they're checking the list off. Is it tax friendly? Is it lifestyle friendly? Affordability, elder care, and so on and so forth. And travel also for family, but they're staying at these places, quite some time out of the year. Another thing, and I'm hearing also, is they're renting RVs.
Yep.
And they're traveling to these areas in an RV to see if they love to stay in these areas.
You know what? We just had a friend do this. And I think I've told this story on the air before. Her husband just retired as a pilot. And one of the things he said, and for our business travelers listening, you probably fall in this category. He traveled so much every single day of the year, in and out of hotels every single day, every single week. He said, for at least the first 5 years of retirement, I don't ever want to see another hotel again. We can talk about VRBOs. We can talk about, Airbnbs. They ended up getting an RV and traveling to Arizona for several weeks to check out some of the different cities. But for him, and I think for a lot of our business travelers, you talk about wanting a change of pace, a change of scenery. For anyone who has spent their entire career traveling, the word hotel is like evil. When I think hotel, I think fun. Let's go to a hotel. We're going on a vacation. That's not true for all of our listeners, Peter. Some of them are fed up and don't want to see another hotel room as long as they live.
No, absolutely. I agree. But you know what? Look, especially if you're retiring with a spouse, you're a team, right?
You have
to communicate with each other. You're a team. Be on the same page. And every day is going to be a Saturday. So even though you have been traveling for so long, the one that you love that you're going to be retiring with, don't forget that person haven't gotten the chance or the opportunities like you.
Yep.
So, look at it a positive direction. Traveling, I used to travel a lot. I still love traveling.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it with family and you're doing it with close friends and you're doing it with people that you love, nothing wrong with that.
You think about a trip for our listeners and all of the decisions that go into taking a vacation, right? So you sit down and you figure out, where do we want to go? Where do we want to stay? What is more affordable? Should we do a hotel? Should we do a VRBO? All of the planning. Sometimes you hire a travel agent to help you figure out all of these things for a trip. And then, Peter, for your clients, you look at the difference between planning for a 2-week trip, right? And then planning for the rest of your life in retirement. And the planning needs to be more, it needs to be better, it needs to be better guided, because your retirement isn't just a trip, it's the rest of your life. And so if you think about like your bucket list and what are some of the checklists that I need to have squared away in retirement, take the biggest trip you ever took in your life, this is how I think about it, all of the planning that went into that, and then multiply that planning by 1,000. And not to scare off our listeners, Peter, but that's how much guidance that you really need when it comes down to some of the most critical financial decisions you will make in your entire life, and that is your retirement.
Absolutely. And you know what's another great thing to think about? Don't forget, when you first retire, right? I mean, you've probably been working maybe 30, 40 plus years,
yeah.
And now you're saying, okay, I'm retiring on Thursday. So when you first retire, don't forget, you're going to wake up. You're probably not going to have a clue as to what to do the next day.
Right. What do I do now?
And you're saying to yourself, okay, what do I do with myself, right? Don't forget, you're going to have so much time on your hands. You're probably going to get yourself a part-time job eventually. You're probably going to pick up a hobby or two. And these things are going to cost money,
Yep.
Especially the hobbies and travel. But the first decade is what we hear is when you're the most active, the most excited, and you're spending the most money. So it's so important that you have some kind of a plan that you're following, and it's extremely strict, and you continue to tweak and you continue to monitor the plan on an ongoing basis, because that first decade could be the most expensive decade.
What would you say, what percentage of your clients come back after a month or two and go, whoa, 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 Peter, we thought we were going to be spending X. We need to adjust our numbers because we are spending Y, and Y is way more big than X.
A good majority of them, yeah. Because they didn't realize, you know, they didn't realize that they forgot about this or forgot about that, or they want to do an extra travel, or they created a brand new bucket list because the one 5 years ago was outdated.
Right.
So we hear these things, and that's fine. And that's why we're supposed to be active upon it, to give you the guidance to and through it, which is not a big deal. But these things do happen. You know, it's never going to be a smooth sailing ship throughout retirement. Something's going to come up, or you might have to take out an extra vacation, or one of your children might want to renew vows.
Right.
And they want to go to Italy or something, you know, and that's right. A big expense.
Yeah, go to the courthouse, kids. Get out of my money. Get out of my bucket of money. 1-800-880-8079. Let's talk quickly about some of the unknowns. You know, it's important. We know what we know. We don't know what we don't know. Four of the big unknowns in retirement, Peter: longevity. Of course, no one knows how long they're going to live. So that's number one. Healthcare costs is number two. Performance of the markets over time is number three. And look, if you've got a crystal ball and we can figure that out, you'd be a trillionaire. And then finally, taxes in the future. And I want you to spend a little bit of time talking about how you counsel your clients about those unknowns, specifically with taxes and all the changes in the tax code.
Taxes is very important. And if you're ignoring this factor that right now, technically, if you look at the history, we're kind of on sale still, okay? Taxes are still kind of on sale. So if you're between the ages 59 and a half and 72, these are the most important golden years of your life to help you make major changes and save a killing on taxes if you understand some kind of tax planning. Now, of course, we communicate with your accountant, or we provide an accountant and we give you recommendations, but myself and an accountant, we're the team to help you save a ton of money on taxes, okay? Whether this is trying to efficiently manage your investments outside of your IRA because you don't want to make sure you're quadruple taxed on your investments and we just add in some tax harvesting, fantastic. If you have too much money in your IRAs, you might not need all of it for required minimum distribution. So between 59 and a half and 72, let's do some possible tax planning. Taxes is one of the key factors, and it's so important to understand what you're able to keep versus what you're going to share with Uncle Sam while you're in retirement.
Yes, because Uncle Sam is going to want his cut when you retire, and there's no getting around it. The number again, 1-800-880-8079, 800-880-8079. You are listening to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. I'm your host, Dana Wright. We're back with much more straight ahead.
Excited for retirement? All that daydreaming can be time-consuming enough as it is, so why not get a little help with your retirement planning? Give Peter a call at 1-800-880-8079 to see where you stand in retirement. You walk into the room, it's dark, and then in an instant, the lights come on and you hear...
Surprise!
Some surprises are fun, but some aren't. Like when you're retired and you find out you owe more in taxes than you thought you would. Or worse, you have to go back to work to make ends meet. Are you prepared for a surprise change to your pension or 401k or IRA? Instead of guessing, call Peter Bambara at PCB Financial Advisory Group and schedule a retirement checkup. Peter and his team have been helping families deal with retirement surprises for more than 15 years. Peter Bambara is a local, independent financial advisor on a mission to help you reach your retirement goals. Call 800-880-8079 right now and schedule a visit for your retirement checkup with Peter Bambara at PCB Financial Advisory Group. 800-880-8079. Don't wait for a surprise. 800-880-8079. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital LLC. Insurance products offered through PCB Financial Advisory Group LLC.
Hey, welcome back to Modern Money with Peter Bambara and the PCB Financial Group. I am your host, Dana Wright. The website again, pcbfinancial.com, or the phone number, as always, 1-800-880-8079. And Peter, you said you're up for some mailbag questions today. We're going to do that in a bit. But right now, we are going to do a little game called Yay or Nay. And I want you to tell me yes or no with several of these questions when it comes to retirement. Some of them are serious, some of them are fun, and we're going to start with a fun one. And two letters, the RV. And I just had a friend hit the road in an RV. They made the purchase. They did it. He's a retired pilot. He said, I'm sick and tired of being in a hotel room, so we're going to get an RV. I don't know that they would do it again. They were on the road about 3 weeks, and we were joking during the break, you really got to get along with your spouse if you're going to hit the road in the RV. So here we go. There are so many big decisions you have to weigh heading into retirement. Let's talk about planning the RV retirement, some pros and cons. And I'll go through the pros first, then the cons, and you tell me what you tell your clients about this. The possible pros, you can live on a modest budget if you retire in an RV, since the campsites are relatively cheap to use. But that's after the initial investment of buying the RV. And by the way, those can be stupid expensive, Peter. Oh my gosh, you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on those things.
Oh yeah.
Possible pros, you will buy less stuff because you have limited storage space. That's a good one. Possible pros, you can take the road less traveled in an RV. Please don't get lost, especially in the desert. You could potentially visit more family and friends, but without having them take up your guest room. There's a possible pro, right? Let's get into the cons now. RVs are really expensive to buy. They depreciate in value like all cars do over time. Repairs can be very costly. And then finally, fuel. We got to talk about fuel costs here, Peter. You want to be aware of gas prices wherever you're traveling. And right now, the gas prices aren't good. So what are some of the factors that you tell your clients to understand before you lock yourself into the RV retirement with your spouse?
I definitely feel, and I'm all about it. You know, I'm all about it. I think the idea is great. And for some folks are going to look at it as I want to travel around the country, maybe in different states to maybe park our future. So temporarily, we'll use an RV for a couple of months to see where we want to park the rest of our lives, which is pretty neat. And on the other hand, yes, I do hear some folks who want to do the RV route for the rest of their life, you know, more long term, which is pretty cool, interesting. But you really have to have someone in the relationship to be really hands-on, you know, handy, because you're still working with a car here, right?
Right.
So the mechanics here is really important. The things that you have to do in regards to flushing it out and regenerating water and so on and so forth. There's a lot of things involved here. So can it be pricey? Of course it can. Just like your home. Your home could be pricey also, but maybe you're saving yourself a ton of money on taxes if you want to look at it that way, in that direction. But right now is probably not a great time to do it when it comes to gas prices going through the roof. But I'm all about it. I love the idea.
And then also, you got to really think about how comfortable you are downsizing enough to live in something that small. There are very few wrong answers for our listeners when it comes to how you want to retire, whether you're living in an RV, you downsize to an apartment, you keep your current house until the day you die. One of the questions I have, Peter, as we wrap up the RV question, and then we'll move on to some other yay or nays, is what are you telling your clients right now about their forever home and what to do with it? I mean, as you know, it is a crazy seller's market, but you have to have a plan B in place. Certainly in my neck of the woods, if you're going to sell, you'd better understand where you are going, because it's so hard to buy something else if you are looking for a traditional condo or home right now.
Absolutely, I agree. And for those who are getting really top dollar, we probably don't have this trend like this forever. So if you're getting really top dollar, what we're hearing is some folks are just selling and they're going to be temporarily renting until they figure out when this, you know, this market real estate value starts to go down.
Yep.
Or when they finally find a place or an area that they're happy with based upon, you know, inventory, what's available. So there's a couple of things that you could look for on a positive side and try to get you to and through it.
It's so funny right now. It's kind of like financial advice. I have friends in our neighborhood. We have a neighborhood and it's around a golf course. Some of the homes and condos are on it. Some of them are around it. And if one of those condos is coming open, Peter, you would think you have the key to unlocking the universe, people will look around quietly and say, hey, I hear there's a condo coming available. This guy's moving. I mean, it's like this crazy lockdown secret. Don't tell anybody I told you, but that condo over there is about to come up for sale. So-and-so's mom died. I mean, it is. We are living in a time that I have never seen when it comes to real estate. It just is. Let's move on to our next yay or nay. Yay or nay RV, I think we're split down the middle. I don't think it's a yay, I don't think it's a nay, but that's some of the stuff to consider, right, Peter? Let's move on. Yay or nay, working in retirement. Do we work, yay or nay? And here's why we're talking about this now. A survey by Express Employment Professionals Staffing Agency indicates 79% of workers between 57 and 75 report that they would rather be semi-retired than fully retired. Does that surprise you, Peter?
I don't think so. I don't think it surprises me now. Maybe years ago, but not now. And we're tending to hear a lot of that when it comes to people who want to work part-time, especially if they feel that they do have enough money,
right?
But they're still nervous a little bit, right? So. And this extra income could come in and to pay some simple bills. And this extra income for part-time, it could be in an industry that you always wanted to work in but you never did because it didn't pay well. Well, now you're working part-time just for a couple of extra bucks. So I don't think you really care too much about what it's really paying versus right. What your full-time salary was.
Some people are just bored, Peter, and they retire and they think, God, I need something to do. Let's go over some of the possible pros and possible cons. Pros, of course, you keep earning a paycheck. You could potentially delay Social Security benefits. If you scale back to part-time hours at your current job, possible pro, you stay plugged in with your coworkers, your work friends. You are able to get, in some cases, health insurance coverage. That is a huge possible pro because we know, Peter, one of the most expensive things in retirement can be healthcare. If you choose a different part-time job for retirement, there are some fun options that might be less lucrative, but for our listeners, you might enjoy doing. Those are some of the pros. Let's talk about the cons. You can't hit the country in an RV if you're still working. You still have the commitment of showing up to meet your work obligations. Your finances get trickier with income from your job, possibly putting you in a higher tax bracket. And also, here's the big one, the big con. Part-time income can adversely affect your Social Security benefits. Peter, talk about that. That is a landmine that people need to understand.
Absolutely. So if you're showing way too much income, that can actually hurt you when it comes to receiving your Social Security. So remember early in the show, we spoke about you want to be within certain brackets. Everybody's different. So give us a call. We can talk about that more in detail. But you can actually increase the amount of taxes that you're going to be spending or paying on when it comes to your income or your Social Security income. Now, also, don't forget one negative thing on top of all of that is if you show too much income additionally because it is part-time work, don't forget your Medicare premiums could potentially also go higher. So this is a conversation we have to have one-on-one, of course. There are pros, there are cons involved, but this is something that you just want to be aware of.
1-800-880-8079. If you are listening right now, you don't have an income strategy. And based on the statistics, many people listening probably don't. Call Peter now. Help create a budget to figure out how much you'll need in retirement, whether you want to work or not. Uncover the main risks posing a threat to your retirement, including inflation, stock market volatility, potential tax increases, generating income options in retirement, and finally, very important, learn how to keep your current standard of living in retirement even as the costs keep rising. It's complimentary for Peter to do that analysis for you. 1-800-880-8079 or pcbfinancial.com. And let's wrap, Peter, with some mailbag questions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'll just fire away in order. Number one from one of our listeners. I am 61. I can start my Social Security next year. I'm not ready to quit working yet. Should I go ahead and start taking Social Security so I can possibly get more money to save for retirement? A lot of people have that question, Peter.
Well, to save for retirement, I would rather you focus more on what you could put away at work, right?
Yep.
Look at your budget. Look at your debt. These are all areas that need more attention. Then you can start looking at other areas for additional income. Now, the one thing I don't like is while you're working, you also turn on Social Security, which means you're paying more taxes, right? So this is probably a little gray area we want to make sure we communicate with an accountant on. But I personally don't like that idea. I would much rather you focus on your debt first. If you get that out of the way, maximize your 401ks at work. Definitely making sure you're maximizing and doing what's called catch up. You could add a couple of extra dollars there every single year and making sure you're knocking that out of the park. If you do have other areas and sources you could start knocking down and getting rid of, mm-hmm. such as certain expenses you don't necessarily need, focus on those things first.
Mailbag question number two. Peter, we had a family business for three generations. One of my sons is planning to keep it going. I'm planning to step back. How do I even begin to figure out my exit strategy when it's time to retire? We could do a whole show on retirement exit strategy, Peter.
Yeah, we could definitely have an entire segment on this one. But this is actually not that simple because now you're going to be passing it down to your son, right?
Yep.
This is an area that is also, you know, a little difficult. But at the same time, what can you do? Well, here's one example. If you do want to step back and start to slow down a little bit, making sure you get a little bit of some kind of a paycheck over a certain amount of time. And making sure you are being compensated for that time being taking a step back on.
Yep.
Another way area is you get yourself an evaluation on your business. So if you were going to sell the business, what would it be worth? Now,
yep.
Yes, you're going to give it to your son. That's one thing. And I'm sure you're not going to ask him for the top dollar of the business.
And Peter, you know this. There are entire companies out there that do nothing but put a dollar amount on your business. There are companies that do
Absolutely.
That specifically so you know. That's not a number you want to spitball.
No, definitely not. So those are areas that you could definitely look into. And I definitely recommend going plan A, step back, getting yourself a salary to it, and then over time, try to figure out a nice valuation.
All right. 1-800-880-8079. That about wraps it up for this week. There is always so much to get into all of these shows, Peter. And we are so thankful to have you here. You have been listening to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. I want to give that number again, 1-800-880-8079. Or remember the website, pcbfinancial.com. Peter, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you back here next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. If you have any questions that come to mind, Peter would be happy to answer them. Just give him a call, 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079.
Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC. Insurance products offered through PCB Financial Advisory Group, LLC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. PCB Financial Advisory Group is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by PCB Financial Advisory Group. This radio show is a paid placement.